Good morning. So today, I continue, so I go on the discussion of the diagrammatic structure of perturbation theory on the example of the 5-4 series. Of course, we are going to discuss the physics of what we are calculating, and in particular, the issue of the meaning of the short-distance singularity and how one deals with them in the theory. But later on, we still have to understand the diagrammatic structure of the theory. So I do not care about the physics. I do not care about the Feynman integrals are convergent or divergent as a structure, the dependence in momentum and space variable, but just the diagrammatic. So we start again with the Euclidean 5-4 theory. This can be done for the Minkowski by big rotation, but that's simpler here. So we have an action, which is the action for the field is just a combination of we are in D dimension, D u phi squared plus m squared over 2 phi squared plus g with this normalization factor phi 4. This is the action. And we have seen that in perturbation theory, we can express them in terms of Feynman diagrams. So we cover the famous Feynman diagrams. So the Feynman diagrams are made out of propagator, free propagator for the free theory. So between the point x1, let's say y1, and y2, this represents the free propagator g0 of y1 minus y2, namely the Fourier transform 1 over k squared plus m squared. We are in Euclidean space, and we have the vertices, internal vertices, which represent the interaction term, and to each Euclidean vertex in the Feynman diagrammatic rule is associated a factor minus g. This is the interaction. Okay. And we have considered last Friday the first step in studying the full perturbation theory, namely the object that appears when one compute expectation value of phi of z1, phi of zn, phi 4 of x1, phi 4 of xk, this calculated in the free theory. And we were considering the sum of this, sum over k. So there was 1 over factorial k. There was a minus g divided by factorial 4 to the power k. And there was a big integral over the x's. And this object, if I'm not mistaken, I called it z bar, some big z of z1 Zn. Okay. And we have seen that we can write this as a sum over diagrams. There is a factor minus g to the power k, where k is a number of vertices of internal vertices. There is a combinatorial factor associated to diagram G, and then there is an amplitude. So in position space, this is a function IG of Z1, Zn. So this is an integral associated to diagram. Integral, and this is a symmetry factor, which comes from the fact by applying Wieck theorem, can get the same diagram in many different ways and taking into account these factors. Okay. So of course, this is not the end, because what we are interested in the theory are correlation functions. Sometimes called the Green functions, which are the expectation value of phi of z1 up to phi of zn in the interacting theory. And of course, from the path integral representation, this is a ratio of this object, z bar of z1 zn divided by the path integral itself, so z bar, let's say, which is a zero-point function. So this is an n-point function. This is a zero-point function, a zero z-point function. But we have seen that this is given by a sum of diagrams. So for instance, in the case in n equal 2, this is the free propagator minus g times 1/2 of this diagram plus one over 8 of this diagram divided by 1 minus g, 1/8 of the amplitude associated to this diagram, plus higher order term. Okay, remember that's what we did on Friday. And since we are considering perturbation theory, so this is a formal series expansion in G. G is supposed to be very small. You can expand this 1 over 1 minus G. You get 1 plus G that cancels this one. So those two terms cancel. That's a well-known phenomena that I think you have met already. This cancels. And you end up with just a free propagator minus g 1/2 of the amplitude of this diagram. So the vacuum diagram has disappeared with the cancellation what's called the n equals 0 vacuum diagram. I never remember if a vacuum takes 2C or 2U. No, there's 2C and 1U.
2U is 1T.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, so, okay.
Sorry. The denominator has.
You have a
what? Vacuum diagram.
Pardon?
The denominator, you've got it.
Yeah, so the denominator vanished between this and this. Yes?
You've drawn it as a 2-point function.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm already going too fast for myself. Okay, I'm sorry. Yes, of course. And this is a general phenomenon. This is valid for at all order in perturbation theory, and at for also for the 4-point function, 6-point function, etc. And there is a simple way, combinatoric way, to see this. But I'm going to show this in a more general setting later on. Okay. So these are the correlation function, and these are these intermediate objects that we have considered last Friday. Okay. So now, before discussing how one can deal with this in a general way with this perturbation theory, let me just show all the diagrams once more, with just because I have drawn them on the computer some time ago. So Let's. Probably a way to probably the light should switch automatically. Everything is automatic. Okay. So this is basically what I explained on Friday. So those are the diagrams that appears in the interacting theory for when you consider just n equals zero. So this is a vacuum diagram at first order. These are the vacuum diagram at second order. And one sees, you see that you have, this one is a connected diagram. This one is disconnected. Those two ones are connected. Oh, another important concept that you have met already. So you see that this diagram has loops. So this is called the two-loop diagram. This is a four-loop diagram. Those are three loops diagram. Okay. So now, okay. So there is, okay. So that's something I'm going to explain later. We have time. This combinatoric factor 1/8 can be viewed as a symmetry factor of the diagram, but better to take some time and to explain this later. Okay, so now the two-point diagrams are those ones, that is the one I draw, and again, this one is connected, this one is connected, this one is disconnected. And at the next orders, I think we draw those on Friday. At order two in perturbation theory, you have more diagrams, but you have only three diagrams which are disconnected. There is this one, there is this one. Ah, and there is this one that I forgot to draw on the blackboard on Friday, but one of you spotted the error. So this one is also there. And you have their symmetry factor, 1-4, 1-4, 1-6. Okay. Now, for the four-point diagram, these are the diagram at what's called tree level. So these are the diagram of the free theory. These are the diagram at first order in G. And among those diagrams, you have only one connected diagram. So you have no connected diagram for the free theory, and you have one connected diagram at first order in perturbation theory. All the other ones are disconnected. And therefore, if you go further and consider only the connected diagram, here are the connected vacuum diagram that you can get at first order, at second order, and at the moment, don't pay attention to this that represents something that I'm going to explain later. It's a zero order vacuum diagram. I'm going to explain later, but to be consistent, you have to take this into account. These are the diagrams that we already discussed, the connected diagram of the two-point function. And among those diagrams, what I wanted to show you is that something particular happens. Okay, so all those diagrams have a property that is not completely clear at the moment, but you'll see they share a property that not all diagrams for the two-point function share. You see that the two-point function can be viewed as a line, you know, connecting those nodes, those basic elements. And those basic elements, so this diagram with just one loop, this diagram with one loop, this diagram with this, this is this, or this is this, are called irreducible diagrams. We are going to discuss that more detail later, but they are irreducible because if you take, for instance, this diagram and cut one line, it stays connected because you still have two lines connecting those two vertices. If you take this diagram and cut this line or cut this line or cut this line, it stays connected. There is always at least one line connecting this vertex to this vertex. While, of course, this is not the case for this diagram, because if you cut this line, it's disconnected. So you can see diagrammatically that the connected diagrams are made out of pieces that are the irreducible diagrams that are connected by line. And that's a general combinatoric factor. Geometrically, it's very clear. So the connected vacuum diagram in the 5-4 theory are all irreducible, and this can be shown. But if you cut this, you have three lines. If you cut this, you have one line, etc. Okay. But for the two-point function, that's not the case. Okay. And now, if you go to the diagram of the four-point function, remember, we had just one connected diagram. So let's consider only the connected diagram that appear in the four-point function and go to next orders. The connected diagram that appears at order two in the four-point function, here they are. I think I discussed that already on Friday. You have many of them, but among those, you see that they still are made out of a tree whose nodes are made out of those irreducible diagrams. So you may consider that the vertex itself is irreducible, because you have no line to cut on a vertex, so it's irreducible. You cannot cut any line. Here I get this one loop diagram that we have already met. And at order two, the connected diagram, you have those three diagrams. Are basically the same up to a change in the external line. And this two-line diagram is irreducible. Okay. And if you go further, here I have drawn, we haven't made the calculation, but I have drawn all the connected diagrams that appears in the calculation of the six-point function. Six-point function means I'm considering connected diagram that for the 5-4 theory that connects six external points, six external vertices. So the first connected diagram for the 5-4 theory, that's for the 6 points, requires two internal vertices. So it appears at order G squared. So the first one is some kind of tree. You know, you just craft two four-point function. So you have this one, and then you have a series of graphs which are just obtained. They are the same graph, but you just relabel the external vertices. They are obtained from this one by permutation. Now, at next order, order G3, with three vertices, you can graft one of those one loop diagrams on any of the propagator, those external propagator, or this internal propagator, and again, you have many ways to relabel things, then you can take this vertex and expand it so that it's one of the irreducible diagrams of the four-point function. You get this one, and then you can do that in many, many different ways, but basically, there are going to be always this kind of diagram. And then you have a new diagram, which is instead of having an irreducible diagram with four external legs, you have this irreducible diagram which have six external legs, which is new. And okay, so you see now you have the simplest irreducible diagram, which is the vertex, the simple irreducible diagram, which is just this one closed line. Then you have this one, and then you have this one. And in any case, you see, for instance, that this diagram, which sounds complicated, is just a tree, similar to this one. A tree because it has no loop, it's called a tree, when some of the vertices are expanded in irreducible diagram. Okay? So, you may consider, in fact, the basic object in perturbation theory, which are the irreducible diagram, and consider the sum of irreducible diagram. So you may consider all the irreducible diagram of the zero-point function, which are all the diagram, but then you may consider all the irreducible diagram of the four-point function, and I'm going to represent them in this way. I'm going to represent, for instance, this irreducible part of this diagram where I have removed the two external legs. So having a cut on the external legs means that I remove the external leg. I consider only the amplitude, the Feynman integral associated with this diagram. So these are the irreducible diagram, the sum of the irreducible diagram of the two-point function. And for completeness, I had something which is the inverse of the propagator. I'm going to discuss that a bit later. So this object represents what's happening when I remove an external leg. So this is just a delta function of the two external legs. And this is a doubly amputated leg. So this represents, in fact, the kernel of this differential operator. Okay? We are going to see that more explicitly in the calculation. So now, what I call the irreducible four-point function is the sum of the vertex, the diagram, and here are now the two irreducible diagrams at second order in perturbation theory for the four-point function. You can check that this diagram is irreducible and this diagram is irreducible. Okay, and if you continue, if you go on, if you consider the irreducible diagram with six external legs, so what I'm going to call the irreducible four-point function, this is just this diagram that has the shape of a triangle that we discussed two slides ago. And at next order, you have diagram with two internal loops, which are, and then you have three different diagrams. You have this one, which is obtained by grafting a bubble, you know, on one vertex. You have this one. And you have this one. So you see, you have more complicated diagram, but still you have many, many, you have much less diagram than all the connected diagram. So the idea is to use the irreducible diagram as a basic tool to study perturbation theory, because there are the basic building block. If you know all the irreducible diagram, you know how to compute them, you can reconstruct the whole perturbation theory. That's the idea. Okay. So now I'm going to show you one way to compute this diagram. Which is something that you haven't probably yet seen in the other course. Okay. So, okay. So, I'm going to introduce the concept of generating functions. And correlation functions. generating function as are something mathematical tool which is very generic, very general. In fact, I think they were invented by a mathematician Euler, the famous mathematician Euler from the end of the 18th and beginning of the 19th century, to count objects. And so counting diagram is a particular problem in the domain of mathematics called combinatorics, which is counting objects. They can be geometrical, they can be come from some other problem. Okay. So it's to replace a series of objects by a function whose coefficient in the Taylor expansion represents the number of such objects with typically a given number of points. And so and in fact, we have already considered a generating function when I discussed how you prove Vick's theorem in terms of Gaussian integral. I introduced an object which is in fact a Gaussian, a generating function. We are going to repeat this for the interacting theory. Okay? So it's something simple. So first, I'm going to introduce the first generating function, which is the generating function for these objects. This sum of all Feynman diagrams, not necessarily connected. And I'm going to introduce it starting from those functions. Okay? So let's consider the function sum from n equals 0 to infinity. I consider this function z bar of z1 zn. Zn. And then I put a variable associated to this, which I'm going to call a source term. So I introduce a source term, what is called source term, which is a function g of z. It's a function, a classical function, it's not, function of z. Okay, so it's a function from the space of Euclidean space here onto the real. So it's a real function. And if I have this object, which is the sum of all Feynman diagrams with n external legs, I had a function g of z1 up to g of zn. Okay, so, so the coefficient is different if the points are different. And I integrate over all the z's. I write this in a bit sketchy way. Some of the z's, and I put a 1 over factorial n. And I call this z of the function g. So this is defined here just as a formal perturbation series. So this is a functional of the source g. Remember, g is a function, so it's a function of the function, so it's called the functional. Okay. And basically, if you know this functional, you know all the z bar of z1, zn, and hence you know all the correlation functions. So it's a way to write formally an object that contains all the correlation functions. So I have not computed anything. I just grouped it. Okay. Okay. So this is the definition of this generating function for the correlation function. Okay. So it's a function of a source term. Okay. And from this object, we are going to construct other generating functions for the connected and the irreducible diagram. Okay. So now, warning. Do not forget h bar in the calculation. I sat on Friday, and up to now, I forget h bar. Okay, I set h bar to be 1. But I'm going now to introduce again h bar because I'm going to do the connection with semi-classical approximation. So let's do a bit of counting. In the original Feynman diagrams, in fact, calculation, the path integral is given by exponential of minus 1 over h bar s of phi. So you have, in fact, and therefore it means that there is a 1 over h bar associated to each vertices, and you have an h bar associated to each propagator. So in fact, in the perturbation theory, if you remember where the h bar are, if you have a Feynman diagram, with k internal vertices and how can I call this? L propagators. To the Feynman amplitude here, there is a factor h bar. And the factor h bar is just the number of lines minus k, the number of external vertices. Now, there is a very famous theorem due also to Euler. Which states that for any diagram, any graph, let's see, any graph. So let me give an example of graph. This is a famous graph, because this is a graph that's led Euler to basically invent topology. Okay? In any graph, this graph has vertices. If it is connected, if the graph is connected, okay, the number of propagators minus the number of vertices. This is the number of vertices. Equal the quantity that I'm going to call b minus 1, where b is the number of internal independent loops. So internal independent loops called, basically, this is the number of independent circuits you can have in the graph. Okay? Mathematically, no P people call this the first Betti number, I think. But physicists call number of internal loop. Okay? And you can check, for instance, that this diagram, that you have 1, 2, 3, 4 diagram. No, I'm sorry. You have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 lines minus 4, which is 3, which is a number of independent loops minus 1. Okay. And if the graph is not connected, the formula is, the general formula is L minus V equal B minus C, where this is a number of connected components. Okay, if not connected. Okay. So now let's consider this diagram. This diagram has one internal vertex and two external vertex. So the total number of vertex in our case, V for Feynman diagram, for us, V is K plus N. K is the number of internal vertex, internal number of external vertex. Okay. So here, there is an h bar to the power L minus k. So better to multiply the source term by a factor h minus 1. So that we had the factor h minus 1 to each external vertex. So if we replace g of z by 1 over h bar g of z, then in the expansion of z of g, so I'm now defining this by h bar to the power n, okay? Then a graph, a diagram G gives a factor h bar to the power the number of lines minus the number of vertices. Therefore, h bar to the power of b minus 1, where b is the number of loops of the diagram. So you see, the more complicated the diagram is, the higher the factor of h bar is. So in fact, perturbation theory is also an expansion in powers of h bar and in powers of the number of loops of the diagram. So perturbation theory is a topological expansion. And the expansion, because it's, you can reorganize it as a sum of h bar to the power b, something, number of loops. And consider all the diagrams that have a definite number of loops. So that is going to be important. Okay. Is it clear? So now this this. Oops. Is the basic object. So this is this generating function of the number of the Feynman diagram of the theory, at the Feynman integrals and amplitude of the theory, is defined purely combinatory in a purely combinatoric way. Here. So you can consider this when you have constructed your theory via canonical quantization. But can we write it in terms of a path integral, of a functional integral? Well, that's very easy. Because the z bar of z1, zn can be written in terms of a functional integral. So what I'm going to do is to define this function z of g, instead of defining it in terms of a sum of diagram, just as well, this is the functional measure. Then you have a sum over n of 1 over factorial n g of z. And then you have expectation value in the free theory of products of phi of z1 zn. So you can write this as simply the functional integral of the path integral, but minus 1 over h bar s of phi minus g times phi, where g times phi is just a shortened notation for integral over the whole spacetime of g of x times phi of x. Okay, and you can check very easily that you expand the exponential, get it out of the functional integral, you get this. So this definition is equivalent to the combinatorial definition up to the normalization. There was a 1 over z0 that I've forgotten here, for good reason. Okay. There was a normalization by 1 over z0, where z0 was the partition function of the free theory that omit in this definition. But it doesn't, it's not going to change anything for the correlation function. Okay, so this is a functional integral definition. And you see that this is very compact. And you have no Feynman diagrams anymore in this definition. We are going to recover the Feynman diagram when we do the perturbation theory for this. And you see that this minus 1 over h bar minus g phi means that you have a 1 over h bar per each g factor, which is what I wanted to implement this. So this is the functional integral definition for the generating function of all diagrams. All diagrams. Not connected. Vacuum diagram. I'm sorry. Yes. Included. this is a very nice definition. And if you think about it, it's not restricted to phi 4 theory. It's general. It's going to be valid for more complicated theory, and it's going to be valid for gauge theories, for theories with fermions, with some modification, et cetera, et cetera. So that's very clean and neat definition. Of course, it's just formal definition as long as you do not know how to compute this. Okay. And one last remark. In the path integral, this is a random variable. And one integrates over this random variable. This is a classical source term. Okay, so this is the first definition, one. Okay. Now, here comes the beautiful aspect of this generative function. What about connected? Correlation functions. And connected diagrams. How do you pass from general diagrams to connected diagrams? Well, that's very easy. Just consider a second generating functional that I'm going to call W, but that's notation, which is just the log of the first functional. You can still expand it. So you can still write this as sum from n equals 0 to infinity, 1 over factorial n, integral over dz1 up to dzn. Here I am a bit more careful. And then sum G of z1 up to g of zn. This has to the source term times some function, which is, let's call it w over the n, some n point function, which is a function of z1 up to zn. Okay? Still formal, but you can write this. And what you can show quite easily is that this Wn of z1, zn is nothing but the sum, when you expand it in powers of g, sum from k equals 0 to infinity. Oh, and let me just divide this by 1 over h bar. For convenience, because you have factor of h bar. Okay. I'm sorry. This is h bar. That's because I want to get rid of this h bar minus one. So I multiply it by h bar. Okay. Then you can show that this sum, you can expand this in power of gk. You can check that for phi 4 theory. Well, let me write this. There is an h bar to the power k. So in fact, you are expanding in terms of the number of loops of the diagram. So let's expand this better, like b. And you get the sum of the amplitudes over the connected diagram only. You get the factor g to the power k times ck to cg times the amplitudes. So, and with b loops and k vertices of the amplitudes for this connected diagram that depends on the external point z1, zn. So this object, the log of the first generating function, contains the sum of the amplitudes for all connected diagrams. Okay? So, and this is, again, this is general. This. And you get this. And you may ask, just what is the relation between K and B? It depends on the theory, on the model. But this is a remark, if you want, at that stage. For the phi-4 theory and for connected diagrams, k equal b. See, this connected diagram has one loop and one internal vertex. Oh, it depends on the. No, it depends on the. No, no, I'm sorry. This is K is B plus N minus 2. Where N is the number of external legs. So there is a difference, because here n equal 2, but here you have a diagram with zero external loops. So it has b equal 2, n equal 0, k equal 1. No, there is some, I'm sorry. I am mixing up things a bit, I think. It's only n minus 2, okay. Probably check. Exercise check. Yeah, because for n equal 4, one vertex, no loop. So this is 4 divided by 2. So I think this is the correct formula. It's written somewhere, I think. Yes, in fact, it's written even in my notes. So exercise to check this formula. Identity. But that's for the 5-4 theory. Exercise 2, but maybe it's one of the tutorials. What about the theory, the phi cube interaction term? Because the formula will be different. Okay. Okay, so you can check that if you expand this in powers of g, take the log, you get the connected formula. And, but we are going to see some explicit example later on. Okay, so now I'm going to introduce a third object, which is a generating functional for the irreducible. In fact, those are called one particle irreducible in the literature, or one PI diagrams. So is there a generating function for this irreducible diagram? Yes?
When you say connected,
yes.
Do you consider, like, you know the thing you cross-eyed up there? Does that count as connected or not?
Which one?
The, like, propagator and one vacuum bubble.
This one is connected.
The next one.
This one is not connected because it has two, it's disconnected. It has two disconnected parts.
And then if you had a 5-4,
huh?
Or if you had a 4-point and it was just one line and another line,
yes.
Is that connected or not?
No, it's disconnected. And maybe it's not completely unclear. Let's. Yeah, for the 5-4 theory, for the 4-point function, so the 4-point function, so it's first given by this diagram plus this diagram plus this diagram plus this diagram, which is connected, plus this diagram, etc. So those are disconnected. But you can separate it in two parts. This is connected. Okay. And you can check that. So this is disconnected. This is connected. That's the kind of diagram. And you can check that if you are careful, if you write Z of G and expand it in diagrams and take the log of the formal power series, the series always start by 1, so you can expand the log. Then you get disconnected. And if you are not really a bit annoying, just invert this relation. The definition of W of G can be rewritten as Z of G for exponential 1 over h bar w of g. You see? So if, in fact, this is a very sketchy proof, but it can be made rigorous. If w of g is a sum over connected diagrams, connected, sum of the amplitudes of connected diagrams, connected diagrams. So it contains the sum of the vacuum diagram, but they are all connected. The sum of the 2-point function connected diagram, but they are all connected. And then the sum of the 4-point function, but they are connected. So this is basically something like vacuum diagram plus this. So they are connected, but here you have vacuum diagram, 2-point diagram. And if you take the exponential, you get that this is, well, the exponential, this is 1 plus the sum of the connected diagram plus the 4-point connected diagram. And then you have W of G square with a factor 1/2, but this is a combinatorial factor. So what is this? You get the diagram that contains 2 vacuum connected diagrams plus the diagram that contains 1 vacuum and 1 4-point plus okay, and then you have the products of 2 connected diagrams, which are precisely those ones. Okay. Then you get this, but plus, of course, those where you have diagram, some vacuum diagram. And then you have the diagram where you may have one four-point function connected with the connected diagram, and then you have a four-point function together with a two-point function. And of course, the next order, you are going to have a connected six-point function. So you see that by taking the exponential, you recover the diagram that contains disconnected part. And everything works fine. So viewed using in this direction, that's easy to show. That this is easy to show from connected. You get general disconnected diagrams. Just expand the exponential. Okay. So if you know how to compute the log of this object, you know all the integrals of the connected diagram. So now let me come back to this irreducible. So constructing a generating functional for the irreducible diagram is something which is very important, but it's a bit more subtle. We have to do some more work. And maybe that's something that you have met in statistical physics, and that's something, in fact, that you have met in the previous year where you have been doing, for instance, thermodynamics. We are going to introduce an object which is called the Legendre transform. It's an object which is mathematical transformation. It's very useful of physics in physics because, for instance, that's Legendre transform that allows you to go from free energy to from internal energy to free energy, from free energy to enthalpy in thermodynamics. Are also useful in mechanics, in the lot of things. So Legendre transform is the following object. So I'm going to introduce just a bit of formalism. But from the definition of Z of G, it's very easy to see that if I take a derivative of W of G, so I have this functional W of G, the generating functional for connected diagrams. Let me take a functional derivative with respect to G at some point Z. Okay, this is a functional derivative. You have seen what are functional derivatives in the front-end course. Okay, functional derivative. Okay, well, we have the expression for W. It's just the h bar times the log of Z of G. So if I take the functional derivative, I just get a phi that falls down from the exponential in the functional integral, and I had to divide by Z of G. So I get that this is just integral, functional integral over phi, exponential of minus 1 over h bar s of phi minus g times phi times phi of z. And divided by Z of Z, which is integral of d phi, exponential of minus 1 over h bar, s of phi minus g phi. Okay? So this is just the expectation value of the random variable phi of z, or if you want the vacuum expectation value of the field operator phi of z. But not in the original theory, in the theory when I have added a source term. So let me denote this g. So this is a functional of g. So this is the vacuum. It's not really the vacuum. It is the expectation value of phi at point z in presence of a non-zero source term g. Okay. So this is not a vacuum expectation value, if you want. It's an expectation value in a quantum state of the theory obtained by adding this source term. Okay. So it's a functional. So this is a functional of g, which means that if you change z at some point y different from z, this change. It's not only a function of z, it's a function of z and of the value g of y for all points y in my Euclidean space. So it's a function of z, if you want, if you consider this as a function of z, as depending on z, it's a function of z which depend on the function g. J. Okay. But this is defined precisely by this just ratio. So let's just denote this by, it's not a phi, remember. Phi is a random variable, and that's the expectation value of phi. So in the literature, and in particular in my note, we are going to denote this by var phi of z. So it's a different Greek letter. This is phi equal phi in tech, and phi is var phi. Okay? And if you go on your Wikipedia page on the Greek alphabet, this is a different way to write phi and phi. So depending on the period of time and depending on the city on which you were living, you were using those different letters, and they might correspond to slightly different sound. Okay. Okay, so unless I made some mistakes, phi is a random variable. And this is a classical variable. It's a classical function. Okay. So this phi is called, phi of z is called a background field. Which means more or less that this is equal to the expectation value of the quantum field phi when g is non-zero. So that's the average field that you view if you are living, if you are a classical object, you know, interacting in a semi-classical way with this quantum field. What you see is the average, the local average of the quantum field. So this definition is very important. Well, those two definitions. This is a definition of the background field, and it corresponds to this object. And this is a physical, in some sense, a physical interpretation. That's the expectation value of the quantum field phi that you experience when g is different from zero. Okay, you or whoever is living in this. Okay. Ah, used. Okay, so this was the fourth blackboard. And now, let me define what is this this Legendre transform. So the idea of the Legendre transform in physics is that you have, for instance, some thermodynamical quantity that depends on some variable. For instance, when you learn thermodynamics, you have a gas in a box. And the gas depends, the energy, the internal energy of the gas depends on the temperature and the volume of the box. Okay? But you want to if you want to expect things as a function of the pressure instead of the volume, you know that the pressure is a derivative of the energy when you vary the volume. So in order to express, study your system, your gas, when you know the volume, the pressure, and you want to know the volume, you don't have to consider the energy, but you have to consider another quantity, which I think is the enthalpy, which is just the Legendre transform of the energy with respect to the volume. So the pressure is a quantity which is conjugate to the volume. So in the same way, you see that the background field is a conjugate to the source. Background field phi is the conjugate variable to G, the source. So the Legendre transform is defined in a very abstract way. I start from a functional W, which is a functional of the source term. And out of this, I construct through the Legendre transform a functional of the conjugate variable, which is the background field, which is just G times phi minus W of G, of Gi. And G, as usual, G dot phi means simply integral over my Wood space of G of X times, well, this was Z, but Z, phi of Z. OK? So this is a very formal definition. But we'll see it's very useful. When considering this object, I'm doing two things. First, out of W of G, I construct another function of G, because phi is a functional of G, remember. In this case, phi is the expectation value of phi in the presence of G, is a functional the source, and when I go to the Legendre transform, I just make a formal change inversion of variable. I consider now that G is the inverse functional of the background field. I assume that I can invert the relation. Instead of considering that phi is a function of G, I consider that G is a function of phi. So in some word, G is a function of phi. OK. Now, which functional of phi is it? Which one? Well, a very general property of functional integral is that if phi is a functional derivative of w with respect to g, this is just a shorthand notation for this equation, where w is a functional of g. So let's write it this way. The property of this definition and this definition, this implies that the opposite relation is exactly true. Namely, if I consider now this functional of the background field phi, and I consider that the background field phi now plays a role of another source term, you can show very easily that g of z is a functional derivative of gamma of phi when I make a variation of phi at the point z. So this is a crucial property of the Legendre transform. And that's a general property. It's just a general property of Legendre transform. And that's exactly the same relation than in thermodynamics. If P is the derivative, the pressure is the derivative of the energy, internal energy with respect to the volume is the derivative of the enthalpy with respect to the pressure. That's exactly the same. Okay? And the relation between this and this is just, in fact, a mathematical consequence of the fact that when you make a change of variables, the Jacobians are the inverse of each other. So it's just a consequence of the fact that if you have a set of variables that you go from xy to g, y, and if you consider the Jacobian matrix G equal dy y over dx g, the inverse Jacobian matrix G prime dxi over dy g is just the matrix element ig of the inverse of the other matrix element. Okay. So this identity is just a consequence of this very general identity, rules of change of variables. Okay. So let's assume that we have computed this object, gamma of phi. Now we have another functional, which is a functional of a new source term, which is the background field. So this new source term, in general, a very complicated functional of the original source term, but when we re-express everything in terms of the new source term, this has a simple interpretation. So now here comes the mirror. Okay. And one last term. This gamma of phi, this quantity is called the quantum effective. We are in quantum theory, so quantum effective action. And that's very important. And we are going to see, well, I will not have time to prove this, but I'm going to show, at least to state, what is the relation between gamma of phi, which is a quantum effective action, what is the relation with the classical action, the original classical action? Okay. So now let me start. Let me make two statements. Okay. Now, I know. Statements. The first statement, I'm not going to prove it here because it's a bit long. I'm going to prove it just in a very special case, and this is going to be the second statement. First statement, gamma of phi is a generating functional of irreducible, one particle irreducible diagrams. Play with this. Okay? Which means the same thing that this. It means that simply that gamma of phi, if you expand it in term of n, it's something like sum over n, 1 over factorial n, integral ddz1 up to ddzn, var phi of z1 up to var phi of zn. So it admits an expansion in var phi, and each coefficient here is a function of n position z1 to zn. And this gamma of n of z1 zn up to zn is in fact the sum over all one particle irreducible diagrams, Feynman diagrams, so graphs, of h bar to the power, the number of loops of the diagram. There is a factor g, which turns out to be also gk in this case, but this is going to be cg, ig of z1, Tn, where this is the amplitude of irreducible one particle graph with n legs, external legs, but amputated in the way I so exactly in the same way as the W is a generating functional for the amplitude of the connected diagrams, this gamma of phi, when now you expand in terms of the background field treated as a source term, is a generating functional for the amputated diagram. So we have a way using functional integral and Lejeune transform to get these objects. Okay, so I'm not going to prove this in full generality, but tomorrow I'm going to prove the first statement, the second statement. So this is statement one. That's statement one. And the statement two, which is more explicit, is just what is the first term and the second term in the loop expansion. Statement is what does this statement mean at one loop order? Okay. And the statement is that if you make the calculation of the Lejeune transform, you end up with a very simple result. So we have seen that I expect that this effective action can be expressed in terms of sum of diagrams with an arbitrary number of loops. So first, there are diagrams with no loops. What are the diagrams with no loops? We have seen what it was. It was the vertex, which is in fact a classical term. It's a term that describes the phi-4 interaction term. So in fact, the B equals zero terms describe the classical physics. So the B equals zero term is just a classical action of the theory. But here, this is a background field, not a random variable, a classical. You replace the classical, the quantum field, which is a random variable, but the classical field, which is a background field. Okay? And now, what is the term of order h bar? One loop. So this is a tree level, if you want. Tree level, because there are no loops in the diagram. What is the one loop diagram? This should be correspond to the one loop order. Contribution of all the one loop diagram of the 5-4 theory, or any theory. Well, the sum of the one loop diagrams takes a very simple form. It's one half of the log of a determinant of some big operator. But let me write this log of the determinant as a trace of the log. So this is a trace, the log of a big determinant. And this operator is just the second derivative of the classical action that I'm going to write this as taken as a value of phi field. So then you have term of order h bar squared. So this is an operator, which is the Hessian of the classical action. And what is the Hessian? The Hessian is just, in general, if you have a function with of n variable, the Hessian is a n by n matrix, which is a matrix of all the second derivative of the function f. Of a function f of x1 up to xn, well, xn, which I can denote x is a vector, the Hessian matrix, which is a matrix, let's call it f double prime, is just n by a matrix contained by the second derivative of f with respect to dxa, dxb, for a, b equal 1 to n. And this is a n by n symmetric matrix. And the study of this symmetric matrix tells you whether, for instance, if you have a minimum, minimum of the function, whether it's stable or unstable. It's very useful. Okay, so this is the generalization for the action, which is a functional field phi, namely a function of an infinite number of variables, which has a number of phi. So the here, S double prime, the Hessian, means simply that this is a differential operator acting on the space of function. Whose kernel, no, it's not a differential. It's an operator, a linear operator. Well, it turns out that it's a differential. It's a linear operator whose kernel, let's call it S double prime of x1, x2, is simply S double prime of x1, x2 is the second order differential of the classical action, which is a functional of the field phi, the background field. When I make this, is you have just two points. X2. Okay? So So you have an action, which is the action that I wrote here. It's a functional because it's an integral over the whole space of this. So you take those two functional derivatives. You get a function of x1 and x2, which is a functional of phi, of course. It's a function of x1 and x2. It's a functional of phi. Okay. In fact, it's a distribution, not exactly. Distribution, but that's okay. And this is a kernel of an operator acting on function. So if you have a function, it's an operator. So if you have some function psi, the kernel of this operator is another function. Let's call it bar. Or psi tilde is defined just by the fact that psi tilde of x1 is integral d dx2 of this kernel of x1 and x2 applied to the original function psi of x2. So that's the definition of a kernel, integral kernel. So this is this object is a big linear operator, and if you assume that it has a determinant, well, it's an infinite operator, so the determinant might be infinite. But if you close your eyes, you can compute the log, the trace of the log of this operator, which is the log of the determinant of this operator. Okay. And this is another functional of phi. Of the background field, bar phi. Okay? Because those are the matrix elements of a big operator. When you take the determinant, you don't care about the specific matrix element you take, you just take the combination, but it's still a functional of phi. So this determinant of the Hessian, the log of the determinant of the Hessian of the classical action is still a functional of phi. Okay. So these were statements. So at that stage, you just have to believe me. But tomorrow morning, I'm going to make the calculation, the explicit calculation, using path integral methods to show that this is correct. So without relying on Feynman diagrams, I will show that this is true using path integral. So no canonical quantization, but just path integral quantization. I'm going to show this. And out of this very, very general formula, I'm going to show you in the 5-4 theory how you recover very easily all the one-loop diagrams of the 5-4 theory. Okay. So this is a general formula. That's important. Such a formula is valid not only for a scalar field, but for gauge theories. It's valid even for the gravitational theory, gravitational field. And it's valid for theory with fermions up to a change of sign. This is a very, very beautiful and general formula. Okay. Thank you. So, see you tomorrow.